This is the incredible Mason's Yard, a quiet haven just a few moments away from the busiest streets in town. There are two buildings in this yard that are important to us on our walk today. The first is the Art Gallery at No. 6. This is the Stephen Ongpin and Guy Pepiot Art Gallery, but in 1966, this was the Indica Art Gallery, which was co-owned by Paul McCartney and a man called Peter Asher. Asher was the brother of a beautiful British model and actress called Jane Asher, who was, at the time, Paul McCartney's first serious girlfriend. Now, in 1966, Paul McCartney was already world-famous and exceptionally wealthy. Paul was great with money and had invested quite a lot of it, and at this point in his life was going through, let's just say, a bit of an artistic phase. LSD was quite popular at this point in time, and had decided to invest money with Peter in this art gallery. On the 7th of November, 1966, John and Peter were hosting the opening of a new exhibition called The Art of Unfinished Paintings and Objects. The artist was an up-and-coming Japanese artist called Yoko Ono. Yoko was a rather quirky artist. A lot of her exhibits involved human interaction, and guests were invited to take part by paying the small fee of 5 shillings upon entering the gallery. On this night, her exhibition involved a ladder in the center of the gallery that guests were invited to climb, and, when at the top, then told to hammer a nail into the roof of the building. On the guest list that evening, of course, was John Lennon. There was a lot of buzz and excitement at the gallery in preparation for his arrival, but Yoko Ono wasn't bothered at all. When John arrived, he decided he liked the look of the exhibit and climbed up the ladder. Yoko spotted him, walked over, and asked for the 5 shillings. John told Yoko he would give her an imaginary 5 shillings, hammer in an imaginary nail, and then they would be even. This is the oft-recorded version of their first meeting, but it is worth remembering they did not end up together that night. Although their attraction was obvious and instantaneous, it would be another year or so before they would meet again and become a couple. Now turn your attention to number 13, the Scotch of St. James. Let's stay in the year 1966. The top two biggest bands in the world are the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. The members of these bands cannot go outside their front doors without being mobbed by the public. And you've all seen the footage. Screaming and fainting girls, rushing crowds, people jumping on top of cars. For these celebrities, there is no peace to be found anywhere. To combat this, the rock stars and their friends have begun operating a series of exclusive, private, members-only clubs, like the Scotch of St. James. The only way to get through the doors here was to be exceptionally famous, instantly recognizable, and your name had to be on the list. Most of the club doors had smaller sliding doors, or hidey holes like you can see here, where guests could whisper in a password. On entrance, visitors would be surrounded by the creme de la creme of swinging 60s society. And there was only one rule. What happened in the club, stayed in the club. For many of the world's biggest rock stars, this was their only slice of privacy. Here, they wouldn't need to worry about press intrusion, public mobs, or constantly being watched. And with a capacity of only about 80 people, it still maintained a sense of intimacy. However, this doesn't make our job to tell you what happened here very easy. We have very little idea about what exactly went on behind closed doors in the exclusive clubs. But we do have a couple of verified stories, such as the one involving Chaz Chandler. Chaz was the bass player with the Animals. You may be familiar with their most famous hit, The House of the Rising Sun. The Animals were doing well, but they were nowhere near in the same financial or popularity bracket as the Beatles or the Stones. Chaz decided he wanted to use the contacts that he'd made in the recording industry to become a music agent, talent scout, and record producer. He wanted to find a couple of acts, get them on stage, make them famous, and make himself some money. Having searched around London, Chaz didn't see anything he liked, so he decided to fly to New York City, where he would strike absolute gold. Chaz came across a black American guitarist playing incredible rock music, and his name, of course, was James Marshall Hendrix, or, as history would know him, Jimi Hendrix. At this point in Jimi's life, things were not going so well. The American public didn't understand a black artist playing rock and roll music. They were more inclined to listen to black artists playing soul, Motown, and jazz. Chaz approached Jimi and suggested that perhaps across the Atlantic in London, his music would be more popularly received. Having nothing to lose, Jimi Hendrix traveled back to the UK with Chaz, and back to here, to the Scotch of St. James in Mason's Yard. If you can imagine it, it's the night of the 24th of September, 1966, and on stage in the Scotch is Eric Clapton and Cream. At this point, Eric was the coolest, most famous guitarist in the entire world, and the crowd and the Scotch were loving it. When he took a break, Chaz approached Eric and told him he'd just brought over a young musician from the States, and asked if there was any way that this artist could join Eric on stage and just have a little jam, introduce him to the crowd, and see how it goes. And Eric said sure. So Jimmy gets on stage and does what he always did. He blows the crowd away. He's playing with his teeth, he's holding the guitar behind his head, Mick Jagger is in the front row cheering, Pete Townsend was there, Ike and Tina Turner in the audience. After three songs, Eric Clapton walked off stage and came out here into Mason's yard to furiously smoke a cigarette. Somebody asked him where he was going, and Eric replied, "I'm going home to practice." Today, the Scotch still operates, and it is still exclusive. Metallica has partied here, and more recently Rihanna had a birthday party inside. Although we've never been invited inside the club, one of our guys did manage to sneak in one day while the club was undergoing some restoration, and she was able to snap an incredibly remarkable photo of the hallway where you first walk in. We'll include this photo so you can see it too. It's a list of all the legends that have ever played here. This is the beauty of rock and roll in London. These small, quiet spaces are filled with history you can't even imagine. Just here, John met Yoko, and Jimi Hendrix introduced himself to the music world, changing the course of rock and roll history forever. With your back to the Scotch and the gallery on your right, walk straight ahead, then go left around the building in the middle of the square, and take the first right out of Mason's Yard. Then, make the first right into Duke Street, St. James. Cross over German Street and continue walking with Fortnum and Mason on your right. When you get to Piccadilly, cross the street and turn left. Keep the Royal Academy of Arts on your right, and then make a right into Burlington Arcade. Play the next clip as you walk.